Half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist John Getch. It was presented in October of 2003. The title of the message, Ready for the Rapture.
Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'd like to ask you a question in the title of the message tonight. The question would be, are you ready for the rapture? You say, preacher, I don't know what the rapture is. How do I know if I'm ready for something that I'm not sure what that term means? The word rapture is not found anywhere in your English Bible. But the teaching that Jesus Christ is going to come back again is found in the Word of God. Just as the Old Testament predicted that Jesus Christ would come to this earth the first time, so the New Testament predicts or prophesies that Jesus Christ will come again. And the first phase of that coming is what we call or refer to as the rapture. We read about it here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. Notice what the Bible says. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Amos, in chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. Think about something, if you will. In John 14 and verse 1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Think about what Jesus said there. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus has been gone from this earth for nearly 2,000 years. During that time, he's been in heaven with his Father. What's Jesus Christ been doing all of this time? Well, one of the things he's doing, according to his own words, is he's preparing a place for us. You realize he made everything in this universe in 6 24-hour days, and he's been working on heaven for nearly 2,000 years? He's preparing a place for us. Now, if Jesus Christ tonight is preparing a place for us, don't you think we ought to prepare for that place? Prepare to meet thy God. You know, if you're saved tonight, and if as a Christian you are obediently trying to serve the Lord, verse 18 becomes a reality. As Paul closes this chapter, he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. The words of the rapture, the message of Jesus coming again, ought to be a tremendous comfort to us. And if we're saved, and if we're serving the Lord as a Christian, the rapture is a tremendous comfort. to know that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And one day Jesus Christ is going to come back for us and take us to heaven and reward us for serving him here. But you know, if you're not saved, the thought of Jesus Christ coming back tonight is not a comfort. For those who are not saved, when Jesus comes, the Bible teaches they will be left behind to face his judgment. For the Christian who is disobedient, for the Christian who is backslidden, for the Christian who is wayward tonight, the thought of Jesus Christ coming back is not a comfort. You know, I'm afraid when Jesus comes, the rapture is not going to be a comfort for even many of God's people, because they will be doing things God said don't do. And they'll be not doing the things he said to do. Why will the rapture not be a comfort to many, many people? First of all, the rapture is going to be a sudden coming of Christ in the clouds. The Bible tells us the rapture will be a sudden, unannounced coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Paul said the coming of Christ is going to take place in a twinkling of an eye. How long is that? 1/10 of a second. You know, I meet people that say, well, I'm going to get saved someday. I'm going to take care of this matter of eternity eventually. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I need to be prepared for eternity, but right now I've got issues. I've got things to deal with. I'm busy. I've got too much on my mind to think about eternity. May I ask you, are you going to get saved in 1/10 of a second? I meet Christians who say, I know that I need to be faithful. I know that I need to get serious about the Christian life. I know that I need to start obeying in some areas of my life, but I've just got so many other things right now to deal with, and I'm just not ready to make that kind of a commitment. May I ask you, are you going to get your house in order in 1/10 of a second? I say not. As the lightning that lighteneth out of the east even unto the west, even so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That's why Jesus said, be ye therefore ready also. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Jesus is coming. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come, whether at evening or midnight or cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch. You know, there are many people today that say, well, I've heard this kind of preaching before. I've heard preachers talk about this, and I just think that's a bunch of scare tactics. I think that's just a manipulation to try to get people to get religious and come to church and give money and all that kind of stuff. And I just don't see any evidence that Jesus Christ is coming back. I mean, after all, he made that prediction thousands of years ago, and I just don't see any evidence that Jesus Christ is coming back. Maybe some people just made that up, and you people believe it, and now in blind faith you preach that Jesus is coming back. You know, if that's your attitude, you've just proved the Bible to be true. Because in 2 Peter 3 and verse 3, the Bible says, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. By the way, there are scoffers today, aren't there? There are people, when you tell them you believe the Bible and you talk to them about getting saved, they laugh, they scoff, they make fun of you, they reject your witness. Have you ever wondered why people scoff at the Bible? Do people scoff at this book because they don't think it's true? No, they know it's true. Every man on planet Earth knows there's a God, and what that God says is true. I meet people sometimes, they say, I'm an atheist. You know what I tell them? God doesn't believe you. And that usually stops them just long enough for me to squeeze in Romans chapter 1, where it says, that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God does not believe in atheists. Every man knows there's a God, and every man, according to Romans 2, knows that what God wrote is true because God wrote it on his heart, his conscience also bearing him witness. So man doesn't laugh at this Bible because he doesn't think it's true. You know why man laughs at this book? Exactly what Peter said. Knowing this, there shall come in the last days scoffers, watch this, walking after their own lust. You see, the reason man rejects that book is not because he thinks it's false or full of errors. It's because he doesn't want to stop walking after his own lust. That's exactly what Jesus said in John 3. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And he that doeth evil hateth the light and will not come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You see, the truth is, man knows that Jesus Christ is coming. But Peter goes on, this they are willingly ignorant of. You see, tonight we choose rather whether to believe God or to believe the lie of Satan. Jesus Christ is coming again. It will be a sudden coming of Christ in the clouds. Are you ready for the rapture? John said, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, ye may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. His coming is going to be a sudden coming. Are you ready for the rapture? Notice, secondly, the rapture will be a solemn dividing of the saved from the lost. I can't see your heart tonight. All I can see is the outside. I don't know who is saved and who isn't. I have people sometimes tell me they're saved, but I wonder, are they? I have a fine neighbor, lives right across the street from me. He's a deputy sheriff. He played basketball at the city college in Los Angeles, a fine man. His name is Lance. If you think of it, pray for him. He has wonderful children that I allow my kids to play with. His wife got saved in our church. She came on a special day, a friend day, and got saved. Lance claims to be saved. He drives 2 hours to church every Sunday. Lance claims to be a Christian. His wife tells me, no, he's never done what I've done. He's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. He's trusting his works. I don't know if Lance is saved. He's a wonderful man, but I can't see his heart. I hope he's saved, but I pray for him like he's not. I can't see his heart. I don't know. But you know, when Jesus Christ comes back, there's not going to be any wondering about who's saved and who isn't. Because the rapture is going to be a solemn dividing of the saved from the lost. In Matthew 25, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins which went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took no oil in their lamps. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight a cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And they that were foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so. Lest there not be enough for both us and you, go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and the door was shut. Afterward, those other virgins came, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he answered and said, I know ye not. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Here were 10 virgins. The only difference in those 10 was that 5 had oil and 5 did not. Oil in the scripture is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. You recall back in the Old Testament, when God would appoint a king, he would always send a prophet to anoint him with oil. It was symbolic of God's power, of God's anointing, of God's presence in his life. That theme is carried into the New Testament, where oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I'm not asking you that tonight, are you a church member? I'm not asking you tonight, do you do good things? What I'm asking tonight is, does the Holy Spirit of God bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? Because Romans 8, 9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You see, if there's no oil, if there's no Holy Spirit living within, then there's an evidence there that we are not ready for the rapture. The rapture is going to be a solemn dividing of the saved from the lost. I'm afraid there are a lot of people today who go to church. They're good people, but there's nothing within. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. When you get home tonight, walk through your home slowly. And as you walk, look at the walls and look at the shelves of your home. And I want you to count the number of picture frames that you have on the wall without pictures. You say, Brother Getch, I don't have to do that. I don't have picture frames hanging on the wall or sitting on my shelves without pictures. Of course you don't. But I dare say that every one of us could go to our home tonight and find pictures without frames. You see, what's important to us is the picture. The frame merely enhances the picture. And God says many have a form of godliness. They have the frame. They have religion. They have good works. They're nice people. But there's nothing here. There's nothing inside. When the rapture comes, there'll be a solemn dividing of the saved from the lost. Now tonight, we've seen the rapture will be a sudden coming. It'll be a solemn dividing. But I want you to see, lastly, the rapture is going to be the start of judgment by an almighty God on those left behind. Let's suppose that Jesus Christ came back tonight at 8 o'clock. Now, I don't know that he will, and I would be very foolish to stand up here and say, Jesus is coming at 8 o'clock. God told me this afternoon to tell you to be ready. For the Bible says no man knows the hour, not the Son, not the angels, but the Father only. So I don't know that Jesus Christ is coming at 8 o'clock. He could come before that clock strikes 8. He could wait 8 hours. He could wait 8 days. He could wait 80 years. We don't know when Jesus is coming, but suppose that we were in eternity right now and we were looking back on time. And as we look back on time, we saw that Jesus Christ had come at 8 o'clock on Friday, October the 10th, 2003. And suppose that when he came, you were not saved. Now, what would happen? We've established the fact that you would be left behind. But would that be so bad? I mean, staying here, life here is not all that bad. I mean, jobs and things would remain the same, would they not? Would it be all that bad to be left behind here on earth? Those that are saved go to heaven, but I stay here. What's the big deal? The future of those left behind at the rapture could literally be summarized in one word, and it would be the word judgment. For you see, as we go to the book of Revelation, we find that after the coming of Christ in the rapture, a period of time begins on earth called the tribulation. Now, the first 3.5 years of that 7-year time period are pretty normal. The saved are taken out, the lost are left here, but life continues pretty much as normal. The Antichrist will set up his world domain. He will explain away the disappearance of Christians, and life will go on as usual. In fact, there will be peace for 3.5 years. For the first time in the history of mankind, a peace accord will be struck over in the Middle East. And even the Arabs and the Jews will be getting along for that first 3.5 years. It'll be time of peace and safety. But in the middle of that 7-year period, something terrible begins to happen. The second half of that tribulation period is called in the Bible the Great Tribulation, or the time of Jacob's trouble. The book of Revelation tells us that some phenomenal things are going to happen on this earth. In Revelation 6, 7 seals are broken and judgment is poured out upon the earth. Verse 12 says there'll be a great earthquake. The sun will turn as black as sackcloth. The moon will turn to blood. Stars will fall from their places. It says in verse 14 that heaven will depart as a scroll. Mountains and islands will be moved out of their places. In verse 15, the kings of the earth and the great men and the mighty men and the chief captains and the rich men and every bondman and every free man cried to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" In Revelation 8, 7 trumpets of judgment are blown, hail and fire mingled with blood. 1/3 of all the trees and the grass on earth are burned. 1/3 of the sea turns to blood, and 1/3 of all life in the sea dies. The star wormwood falls from the sky into the rivers, and the rivers turn bitter, and all who drink of the water of those rivers will die. 1/3 of the sun, the moon, and the stars are smitten to shine no more. The Bible tells us there in Revelation 8 that locusts will come forth. These locusts are strange-looking beings. They will dominate the world for 5 months. They have shapes like horses. They have teeth like lions. They have hair like women. They have breastplates of iron. They have wings that when they fly will sound like the rushing of mighty chariots. They have tails like scorpions, and for 5 months they will sting and torment with their tails every person who has taken the mark of the beast in their forehead or in their hand. 1/3 of all mankind will be slain by smoke, fire, and brimstone. That would be 2 billion people dead if it were to take place tonight. In Revelation 16, 7 vials or 7 bowls of judgment are poured out. There'll be a noisome and grievous sore. The sun turns dark. The sea turns to blood and everything dies. Rivers turn to blood. Men are scorched with fire as God releases the energy of the heavens upon this earth. There'll be darkness over the earth for a period of time. And the Bible says that men will gnaw their tongues in pain because of the darkness. The beasts will gather themselves for the battle of Armageddon, where the blood will flow to the horses' bridles for the space of 600 furlongs. There'll be a great earthquake such as the world has never seen. This is the big one. Cities will be divided. Islands won't even be found. Mountain ranges will be moved. It says in Revelation there in chapter 16 that it will begin to hail. These hailstones will weigh 1 talent each. That translates to 114-pound hailstones. You say, "Preacher, this all sounds like science fiction. It sounds like some movie, some novel, some fictitious writing. You don't mean that all that's going to happen here on this earth? I mean, come on. Strange-looking locusts with tails stinging people and hailstones and blood in the water and people dying and the sun going dark. I mean, come on." It's the Word of God. You say, "But it's the book of Revelation. That must be all figurative. It doesn't mean that literally." Revelation 22 and verse 18, "I say unto everyone that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book," that's you and I, we just heard it, "if any man shall add unto the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the Lamb's book of life, out of the holy city, and out of the things that are written in this book." You know, it sounds to me like God means exactly what he says. And if you don't believe it now, hang around in your unsaved condition and you'll see it firsthand. You say, "Well, preacher, if all that happens, I'll get saved. I mean, I've heard the gospel now. I know what it means to be saved. And if all of that stuff happens, Christians are taken out, and all these weird things happen on the earth, I'll get on my knees somewhere, and I'll ask Jesus Christ to save me. You go home, and you read Revelation 9. You read Revelation 13. You read 2 Thessalonians 2. The Bible says you will not repent. You say, you mean God won't save me during the tribulation? Don't you blame God for not being saved. God will save a man anytime, including during the tribulation. But you see, those that believe not now, their eyes will be blinded. They will be deluded. They will believe a lie. According to 2 Thessalonians 2, you will not repent. If you will not get saved in God's grace, you will raise your fist in bitterness to God in judgment. And that's just the first 7 years. Then you're going to stand before God. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. You say, well, I'm looking forward to meeting God. I'm going to tell him about how unfair he was. I'm going to tell him how my life just wasn't what I thought it should have been. I'm going to tell him about the hypocrites in the church. I'm going to tell him about the sleazy evangelists I knew. No. You don't understand. John said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. When God ascends to the great white throne judgment, heaven and earth are going to flee away. You're not going to stand there and raise your puny little fist in the face of God and give some excuse. Daniel said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was as a fiery flame, his wheels as a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Revelation 20:15 says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire. You see why we need to prepare to meet God tonight? Do you see why we must be ready for the rapture? If this event takes place tonight, there is no hope for you to be saved. What if Jesus comes? What if it were today?
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Ready for the Rapture from Evangelist John Getch. It was originally presented in October of 2003 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.